not. I mean, this is quite the scathing parable from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, isn't it? Not much grace or mercy or peace, though it seems. Beating, killing, stoning, and sun-slaying. And a logical outcome for those who heard such wretched tenants put to a wretched death. Such was the outcome, the punchline of sorts that Jesus wanted against those who heard it. They would have the kingdom of God ripped away from them, he said. They would fall on this stone and be broken to pieces, and the stone would fall on them and crush them. Good news, indeed. These words of Jesus are, in fact, enough to make you squirm in your seat, get the sweat beating on your forehead, wondering when and where the hammer will fall on you from the Son of God. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, there's good news for you today. If your name isn't Pastor Hock, Pastor Figgy, or Pastor Schwartz, you can breathe a little sigh of relief. Wipe the sweat from your brow for a little bit. For the main application of this parable, the main thrust of this warning and these harsh words is for those who would be the spiritual leaders in the church. Jesus spoke this parable against the chief priests and Pharisees, and they perceived it as such, didn't they? He spoke it against those who misunderstood and misused their position as caretakers for God's vineyard. That is, they precisely forgot that it is God's vineyard. And when God comes calling, they are to listen to him and lead others to do the same. And God is very patient. Foolish, in fact, to keep sending prophet after prophet and leader after leader to get the fruits from his vineyard. But if they persist in dealing with God's vineyard in their own way, yes, there may be hell to pay. And so if I or your pastors ever deal with you on the basis of any other foundation than the will of God for you in Jesus Christ, this parable puts me on notice. If I fill this office as pastor, merely seeking my own glory or gain from you, I'm not giving God his fruit in its season. And if somehow, God forbid, I keep the sun from you, if I let the pure gospel of Jesus be obscured in my preaching and teaching and counseling with you, then I know better than these wicked tenants. Yes, there's an intense warning, harsh words in this text for those who would be leaders in the reign and vineyard of God. But here's why. Here's why there are such harsh words and such an intense warning. Here's why God was so foolish as to keep sending servant after servant, and so foolish even as to send his son to try to deal with these tenants and gain the fruits from his vineyard. Because this parable shows us the intense love care of God for his vineyard. Here in the parable, there was a master of a house who planted a vineyard. He put a fence around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower in it. Isaiah talks about this vineyard in the same way as well, how God provided for it and planted it and nourished it and protected it. He wanted this vineyard to flourish and grow and bear abundant fruit. And yes, you, dear people of God, are this vineyard planted in Christ Jesus, his dearly loved people. He has brought you to himself, planted you in this vineyard by the waters of holy baptism. Though we cannot by our own reason or strength come to our Lord Jesus Christ to believe in him, not by our own efforts or works, God sends you the Holy Spirit to call you by the gospel, to enlighten you unto the true faith as a planting in his vineyard. He will let nothing come between him and you. Not your sin, not your fears, not your weaknesses or failures, not false teachers, not any wicked or deceptive tenants who might mislead you in your faith and life. So much does God care for you and love you and want to have you in his kingdom, a planting in his vineyard. God loves you, his vineyard, too much to let anything like that happen to you. He loves you so much, he did the very foolish thing of sending his son to reclaim you. Did he think the leaders of Israel would do any better with his son than they had done in the prophets for centuries on end? No. He knew precisely what he was doing. But that was exactly his plan. To finally reclaim you as his very own vineyard. To finally build you and found you on the very stone who was rejected, cast out of the city and killed on a cross. But raised up again. The stone the builders rejected. Now become the cornerstone for your faith and life, your forgiveness and salvation, your eternal life, and all that is done, all that is needed to be done for you is done. It is finished. He has done it for you, and it is marvelous in your eyes of faith. Yes, dear people of God, your Heavenly Father has brought you into the gracious reign his vineyard. He has planted you together as his church here in this place. And so with the fence of his holy word and from the strong tower of his holy gospel, he defends you against the attacks and assault of the devil, the world, and your sinful flesh, which would not want you to bear fruit for the kingdom, which would keep his servants and his son from you. And he promises that because of his work for you and in you, you will bear fruit. He bears the fruits in you of repentance and faith in your hearts. That you come to him confessing your sins, trusting in his forgiveness. He brings forth the fruit of confession of Christ from your lips. That yes, you believe in your hearts and are justified, as Romans 10 said, but also you confess Christ with your lips and are saved. You pour forth that praise and glory of God to those around you. And his Holy Spirit produces in you his abundant fruit. Fruits such as love and joy, peace and patience, goodness and kindness, faithfulness and gentleness, and self-control. What does that fruit look like on a day-to-day basis in the world? What does it look like to be the planting of God in his vineyard, the church, and then to live and move and have our being in the world around us? Well, it looks different ways in different times. But perhaps in this time, it looks a little more like speaking the good news of Jesus and speaking more of that than of the bad news around us in health or politics or what have you. Perhaps this looks like continuing to write notes of encouragement or make phone calls or even do window or yard visits to one another and your neighbors throughout this pandemic. It looks like the faithful Christian performing their vocation in their jobs or their family or their community. The best of their abilities. The pharmacist, for example, measuring out the right dose and patiently explaining it and answering any questions for the person who needs the medicine. It looks like parents bringing joy into their home, not just with the things of this world, but with the joy of the word of Jesus for them and for their children day in and day out. And it looks like Christians humbly confessing their sins to one another, coming together at the foot of the cross, not wanting pride of place or position or power, but offering and giving to one another the forgiveness they first have received for themselves from Jesus that brought them into his vineyard together in the first place. It looks like living in peace with all our neighbors, of every color, of every political persuasion, so far as it depends on us anyway, so that we might also have the opportunity to bring the eternal peace of Jesus to those who so desperately need it. Now this fruit that we bear as the vineyard of God, it may not ever make the nightly news, it may never go viral on YouTube, but it is a sweet aroma to God. It is a beautiful thing in his eyes. It may never make a difference in the world in a way that might make the history books or leave a totally lasting a legacy. But even in our mundane, everyday life, God rejoices when he sees his vineyard bearing fruit. Even if it looks mundane, even if it looks like it's not making a difference at all, it's God's work in us, among us, and through us. Because he has planted you, his church. He's planted you individually also where he has put you. In your families, in your workplaces, in your communities, so that you might be his precious planting there. He's put you precisely where he wants you in this world, for the sake of others in your daily life and for the sake of the glory of his name there. As we commemorate LWML Sunday, we rejoice in the work of God through the Lutheran Women's Missionary League over the years. Part of their mission and pledge is to bear fruit for God, so that more and more people might become planted in the vineyard of his kingdom, that more and more people might hear the good news of Jesus. It's certainly not just for women, that task. It is a task they encourage all of us in and support all of us in, and do so much more beyond. One of their well-known campaigns, as I'm sure you know, is as it's meant to benefit support dollars and support for ongoing projects and ministries, are those mite boxes, aren't they? Now there's a mundane, everyday act if I ever saw one. I mean, who recognizes and notices a penny, a nickel, or a dime here or there on their own? But in the end, when you have thousands of people giving thousands of coins over thousands of days, how much fruit is added up? How much fruit is born for the gospel? What a wonderful picture of the overflowing abundance of the kingdom that God works, even through the smallest thing. A wonderful picture of how our small faithfulness, our everyday fruit-bearing, can be used by God for something far bigger than we'd ever imagine, and perhaps far bigger than we'll ever see on our own in this life. After all, that's God's way, isn't it? To do something bigger, something that looks so small, something so insignificant, but something that is huge and vital and important in his eyes. He does it again for you today. As you take the wafer, as you take the sip of the fruit of the vine, as Jesus gives you in with and under that fruit of the earthly vine, the fruits of his death for you. Here today he shows you again what great lengths he was willing to go to join you to himself forever, willing to go even to death on a cross, willing to be rejected and cast out of the city and put to death for you. Here today in the Lord's Supper, you receive the attentive care and protection of your gracious God. Here today, he will let nothing keep him from you. Not your sin, not your weaknesses and failures of the past week, not your physical or spiritual weakness and sickness and death, not even the shame of the sin of others against you throughout this week. Here today he comes to forgive your sins, to release you from their guilt, to cleanse you from the shame, and to give you strength, health, and life beyond all knowing, a foretaste of the perfect feast to come. So above all, dear friends, rejoice. Rejoice today to hear how much the owner of the vineyard cares for you, so much that he sent his only son for you, to let him be killed, to let him be put to a wretched death, that you might be blessed beyond measure. He sent Jesus to be the rejected stone, to become the cornerstone, that you might be the living stones of his house forever. As you come to him, you produce the fruits of repentance and faith in this life, as you rejoice and are glad, O vineyard of God, because he will let nothing keep him from you, or you from him, now or forever. In the name of Jesus, your Lord and Savior, amen.